Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
So that kooky curved basket that looks like a speaker on some ancient phonograph is called a cornucopia, a snooty word for the horn of plenty. We see them on lots of movie and TV tables, some real-life tables. I've never eaten anything that was spilling out of one, have you? I've always wondered about those things, so I checked. It's a word from Greek mythology. And it was some kind of a magic goat horn, endlessly overflowing with fruit, flowers, and grain, or full of whatever its owner wanted. So it was like a genie's lamp. Cool. So why can't cornucopias be a lot bigger and spew live Laker girls and pointy Victoria's Secret models, exotic cars and money? Yeah, let it spray Benjamins like a fire hose. When I look at those things, I think it's just a prop. The stuff coming out of it is often fake. And even if it's real, it looks too carefully arranged to touch. It's the centerpiece of the table. A look, don't touch thing. I don't care much for a look, don't touch things. Maybe that's why I've never been a fan of strip joints. And so this episode is sort of inspired by that cornucopia, because besides abundance, it's also a symbol of variety. That Larry show usually has a central theme or a story, but like the cornucopia, I'm going to mix it up today. Maybe. Thanksgiving is nigh. Isn't that a fun word? Not one used very often, but since it is peeking over the horizon, let's stare at it. Maybe we can stare it down and assert dominance, as they say. Thanksgiving is like the first set of swinging doors we blow through on an amusement park ride as we hurtle toward Christmas and New Year's. But what will that ride be? A warm and fuzzy gustatory journey, punctuated by stimulating conversation and impossibly witty scintillating people? Will the table candles make romantic starbursts and bring out the catchlights in your eyes? Will everyone's teeth be as even as chiclets and never trap a chunk of unsightly spinach? Will the drapes complement the table linens and the napkin rings look like hollowed-out Fabergé eggs? That's the aspirational Thanksgiving of wine commercials and movies. Have you ever had a Thanksgiving like that? Has anyone ever? Unlikely. No matter how we try, reality always elbows its way into everything we try to stage. Even Elon Musk, with all the stagecraft money can buy, had his moment ruined when the unbreakable windows shattered during the world premiere of his new Tesla truck. As the old military bromide goes, no plan survives contact with the enemy, and reality is the enemy that stalks us every moment of our lives. In watching that video, however, I understood why Musk is so successful. He laughed his way through that horrible gaffe, and the crowd laughed with him. The moment might have been ruined, but he wasn't. He finished his presentation and snatched victory from the jaws of defeat. But back to Thanksgiving, the gateway to the holiday season. Does it set the tone for the next 5 weeks? And I'm including the shittiest holiday of all here, New Year's. Yuck. If Thanksgiving's a disaster, can we correct course and still create the Christmas perfection that Lexus and Budweiser promise us? Wait a minute. Do Lexus and Budweiser even use the word Christmas? I don't think so. Will that interloping invisible prick named reality, that fucking miscreant, that goblin that befouls even the most perfectly art-directed family gatherings and automotive presentations, will he sneak past the window insulation, or maybe slip through the ductwork like a tendril of smoke and do his reverse magic? Just when the candles are glowing, he'll snuff them out. When the gravy boat is being passed around, He'll blow his icy breath on it and congeal it, or make Grandma lose her grip on it so it splashes over everyone's lap. Just when you're about to make the toast you so carefully prepared, he'll pinch your sister's 2-year-old so he screams and drowns you out. Maybe he'll even distract you as you carve that bird, and you'll amputate your thumb. But sometimes, reality doesn't have to do a damn thing but sit back and allow the guests to be themselves. Some wine or liquor will ensure an uninterrupted flow of bullshit, nonsense, and braggadocio. Your brother-in-law will bray about his promotion. Uncle Morty will elucidate a rundown of his latest surgeries, maybe show you some video of it on his phone. Ooh, that'll be a powerful appetizer. At least 3 guests will have their faces buried in their cell phones, which, although rude as fuck, might be a blessing. Before all the sides have even been served, some fuckball's gonna turn on the TV for the games, because even though there are 256 pro football games in the season, it's more important to watch hideously overpaid strangers on a field than talk to Aunt Ellen, who just got a bad biopsy and will not be at this table next Thanksgiving. Your cousin Chris will shift in his seat and cough to camouflage his farting. Cousin Eddie will corner you in the kitchen to hit you up for a loan. Your mother-in-law will damn your wife's stellar cooking with faint praise. And your nephew will go outside between courses to get high. You'll be on tenterhooks hoping nobody mentions politics, because that could portend broken furniture if your brother and sister get into it. But then again, if you want to cut your Christmas gift budget, by all means, get political. You'll make enemies guaranteed. That prick reality should be hunted down and killed, shouldn't he? Or maybe the people writing car and wine commercials should be killed. They're the ones setting the holiday cheer bar over the fucking moon. Our holidays don't match up. But if you drop $100,000 on a new Lexus LC, maybe they will. I was on the freeway the other day listening to the radio. Yeah, I still do that sometimes. And they had a story about workplace violence. Why does workplace violence get its own category? People get violent with a lot greater frequency at sporting events. Why doesn't that have its own category? How about saloon violence? I've seen plenty of that. Domestic violence is its own thing. That's no doubt the most common venue for violence. But this workplace violence has a word you always hear embedded in those stories. Disgruntled, huh? Disgruntled worker. You never hear the word disgruntled used elsewhere, do you? They never say a disgruntled father or mother, although shitloads of them are. Why are only employees called disgruntled? And then, what about the word itself? It makes no fucking sense in any context. One can appear or disappear, or connect or disconnect, or approve or disapprove. But is anyone gruntled? Would that mean you love your job? How do you like your new job, son?
I'm gruntled, Dad.
And speaking of disgruntled, now there's a whole new category. Disgruntled offspring. Some guy in India, he's 27, he's suing his parents for begetting him. Says he should have been consulted in advance of his birth. He fails to say exactly how that consultation might happen. Maybe this will spawn a new movement. Hashtag unbirth me. I can already see some charlatan starting a cult. They'll fabricate an enormous birth canal made from medical-grade silicone and lubricated with lard. After hours of shamanic rituals involving porcupine quills, yak urine, and a live mouse, hashtag unbirthers can squirm back into the womb. Once there, you click your ruby heels together 3 times and say, I was never born. Depending on your level of commitment, which is determined by how much cash you lay out, you can drink licorice-flavored hemlock or be hooked up to an IV of pure heroin and goodbye world. That way people can finally be gruntled. I've been very fortunate with my Thanksgivings over the years. There were a few odd ones, but never a really bad one. The odd ones were always when I was a guest. The shittiest ones were the football ones. People wolfing down the meal with barely a word, then flopping in front of the 4K 50-inch Samsung to inspect some running back's nose hairs. Why do people drive 3, 4, maybe 500 miles for that? Just go to the fucking sports bar, order the wings, eat, drink, and go home. Just another Thursday. Seems like Thanksgiving used to be a much bigger deal, with a lot more importance. It's been marginalized and pushed aside by Black Friday. I really wish there was a way to kind of nuke Black Friday. I've never participated, but it's a shit show every year, isn't it? People stabbing each other over a $200 air fryer at Walmart, or getting crushed to death as the crowd literally busts the doors for those pre-Christmas doorbusters. Maybe that will be one good thing about Amazon's destruction of bricks and mortar retail. But then, assholes will find a way to be assholes. They'll storm the delivery trucks instead of the actual stores. They'll probably wind up having guys ride shotgun on FedEx trucks on some not-too-distant Black Friday. Every year, Thanksgiving loses a little more steam, becomes less important in American culture. Already, quite a few asshats in academia have declared that pilgrims were genocidal maniacs, hell-bent on the conquest and destruction of the Indians. This Thursday heralds the most dangerous time of year, when people are most likely to snap and go apeshit, maybe hurt others or themselves. We are entering the season of impossible expectations. And it's a big run-up to Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, when for, 16, 17 centuries, it was really about saying happy birthday to a savior. Not so much anymore. Now it's about giving or receiving crap. No matter how cheap or expensive it is, ultimately, it's all crap. Christmas has become the great crap exchange. Maybe that's why so many people are not gruntled by Christmas. It would be great if somehow Christmas gift-giving could be reserved only for kids, and kids young enough to believe in Santa Claus. Gifts for everyone with a pulse is insane. But I'm jumping the calendar here. The idea today is to just have the best Thanksgiving possible. A listener named Greg is having some anxieties over this upcoming Thanksgiving, and he dropped me an email, and here's what he has to say. Hey Larry, I'm a proud Patreonie, thank you Greg. I live and work in Denver, and I recently got engaged to a fantastic girl who also happens to be an orphan. Oh, congratulations Greg, you picked the perfect girl, no in-laws. So she wants to come home to my family, which is in Tulsa, for Thanksgiving. Here's the problem. My family is nuts. My mom is an alcoholic who gets very nasty. My dad is okay, but he kind of gave up on her years ago. There were many interventions, 12-step programs, etc. Some cousins will be there too, so will my brother, and we've never gotten along all that well. I've already committed, and it's a 700-mile drive. But I kind of wish I'd just taken her to dinner at a real nice restaurant instead. Any ideas to help me get through this? Thanks. And happy Thanksgiving, Greg. Well, Greg, thanks for supporting the show again and for your email. First, take some solace in the fact that you are not alone. As they say, your friends are God's way of compensating you for your family. And your new best friend, your fiancé, will hopefully be your lifelong best friend. In the course of your life together, she's going to see lots worse than your fucked up family. There's no way to spin the situation, but you can certainly manage the risk. First, you did not mention lodgings, but I'd recommend you stay in a hotel in Tulsa. If you overnight at the family digs, you increase your exposure to unpleasantness. That 700-mile ride is a great opportunity to hip your fiancé to her future in-laws and maybe turn a potentially shitty experience into a laugh riot. And the laughs you and your girlfriend share will be the best kind there are. Suppressed laughter at that Thanksgiving table. Now, most of us are creatures of habit and pretty damn predictable. And having grown up there, you know all their foibles, cues, and tells. Why not alert your girl to the signals? Maybe that third or fourth cocktail that ratchets mom into the ozone. Let your fiancé know all the things she can expect to hear and see. And even if it's kinda low rent and ugly, advanced knowledge will have her kicking you under the table. Maybe even more things under the table. Once dessert and coffee is served, pop a big yawn and announce you're heading for your hotel. If you're planning on hanging around the entire weekend, make damn sure you have some side excursions lined up for you and your lady friend. I was in Tulsa once and I dug it. I recall some pretty good bars and interesting sights to see. The key lies in limiting your exposure because familiarity does breed contempt. If you play it right, you can probably have a pretty good holiday and keep your fiancé. However, Greg, you also need to have a plan in place if things should turn suddenly vile and your mom starts to unload on your fiancé. That's a situation you must stop before it starts. So, have a course of action at the ready. At the first sign of hostility directed at your girl, she must have the onset of a migraine, and oops, her medication is back at the hotel. Good night, folks. You whisk her away before something is said that might really upset her, or that requires a counterstrike from you. In the morning, you can decide if you want to return to your childhood home, or phone in an excuse that you had to go back to Denver because of an urgent call from the office. This way, you control the situation as much as possible. It doesn't control you. Greg, I wish you luck. You're in a very cool place in life. Enjoy it. Soon you may start your own family, and then you and your wife can do Thanksgiving your way. And now I'd like to give thanks to all of you, to all who listen to That Larry Show, and especially those beautiful Patreonies, you keep the dojo lights on. And if you've yet to join the Patreon dojo, what are you waiting for? It's the most exclusive club for dudes and dudettes who know what time it is. All kinds of goodies are there, from bonus episodes to signed books, custom recordings, and most importantly, at all belt and pledge levels, you get access to our ever-deepening bench of wise senseis who are here to help you kick life's ass. So pop over to patreon.com/thatlarryshow and join today. Now, if you got something in your mind, lay it on me at thatlarryshow@gmail.com or voicemail us at 302-71-LARRY. And don't forget to follow the show on Twitter and Facebook. So, my friends, as we snap on our buckle shoes and hunt turkeys with our blunderbusses in prep for another Thanksgiving, remember this. Whether you're headed for the warm and fuzzy bosom of the family experience we'd all like to have, or sitting down solo to a turkey pot pie you just pulled out of the microwave, it matters not. Take a tip from my favorite psycho killer, Charles Manson. There's a fascinating video clip of Charlie where somebody asks him how he deals with life in prison, and Charlie answered, and I paraphrase, "Hey man, prison is in the mind. I'm not even here. I'm still out there in the desert." If you focus your mind hard enough, you can escape to anywhere, even for a little while, and sometimes that's all you need to help you make it through. Try closing your eyes and thinking of the TNS Dojo. Here, there's a crackling fire, adult beverages, and full bellies. We're all friends, real friends. And there's never a hint of discord or scarcity. And we're open 24/7. So sit back, put your feet up, and relax. It really is all good. Have a great Thanksgiving. I'll see you next Tuesday, and until that time, take no shit.